Now reading Gulliver's Travels, Chapter 1, Shipwreck Sailor Lilliput. A father had a small estate in Nottinghamshire. It was the third of five sons when I was 14 years old. My father sent me to college, but as it was expensive, left after staying there for 3 years. I was the apprentice to Mr. James Bates, a well-known surgeon of London. I worked under the surgeon for 4 years. A period my father would send me money, which I used to study navigation, because I always felt that I would one day travel to faraway lands. When I left Mr. Bates, my father sent me to medical college late in New Holland. After nearly 3 years there, Mr. Bates very kindly got me the position of a doctor on the ship, the Swallow. I stayed with the Swallow for 3.5 years, after which I thought I would settle down in London. My master, Mr. Bates, used to send me some of his patients, Gulliver, and I bought a small house after I married Mary Burton, which, when my master died 2 years later, I found myself in great financial difficulties. Number of patients coming to see me slowly become less and less. And so, talking about with my wife and friends, I decided to go to sea again. In the next 6 years, I was a surgeon in two ships and traveled to East and West Indies. In my spare time, I would read books written by the best authors, and when I was ashore in foreign lands, I would pass my time studying the strange people and the languages and customs. I was lucky enough to have a good memory, could learn languages very fast, also earned a good amount of money in these voyages. As the last of the voyages was not very interesting, I decided to return home to my family. I shifted a home house close to the docks in the hope that I would get patients among the sailors, but in 3 years we lived there, I did not do too well. And so I accepted a good offer from Captain William Pritchard, captain of the Anglo, who was making a voyage to the South Sea. We set sail from Bristol on May 4th, 1699. After a good start, we were driven northwest of Tasmania, a very rough and violent storm. 12 of our crew members died in the storm. The rest of us were left very weak. The 5th of November, we spotted a large rock. The wind was so strong, we dashed against it, and the ship was split in two, and we all swam to our lives. I do not know what had happened to my companions, but I guess is that they were all lost at sea. I swam as much as I could till my feet suddenly touched the bottom. After a long walk over a mile, I got to the shore at about 8 o'clock in the evening. I hunted around for people but could find no one. Then, as I was very tired, I lay down on the ground and slept for about 9 hours. When I awoke and tried to stand up, I could not move. I found that I was lying on my back with my arms and legs tied tightly to the ground with thin, fine rope. I felt these ropes all over my body from my armpits to his thighs. I could hear some noise around me. And as I was lying down, I could not move my head to see what it was. Suddenly, I felt something moving up my leg, to my chest, and almost up to my chin. Whoa. To see what it was. You cannot imagine my surprise when I found it to be a human being, not more than 6 inches high. He held a bow and arrow in his hands. A few seconds, about 40 of these creatures had collected on my chest behind the first. I was so astonished to see these beings that I let out a loud roar, at which they all ran off, some jumping off my chest onto the ground. They soon came back, and one of them lifted his hands and eyes as if in admiration, said in a shrill and clear voice, "He cannot be cool." They all repeated these words, and as I couldn't understand them, I said nothing. By this time, I was feeling uncomfortable, and I started breaking the dead bound. At once, I heard a command and felt that 100 arrows pierce my left hand. I felt like pinpricks. I was attacked by these arrows all over my body. I was not hurt. As I was able to shield my face with my hand, and my leather jacket protected my body, I knew I could defeat them, even if they had a large enemy, because I was so much bigger than them. Rest, they decided to lie still and see what they would do. At once, the arrows stopped coming. After a while, they built a sort of stage which reached my face. All of them claimed they made a speech, they spoke a language I couldn't understand. Even though I knew a quite a few languages, it seemed an important person, seemed to be sometimes threatening and others. Giving me promises, and Petey decided to be polite, I spoke at first, seeing English. Later switched over to a sign language. Spoke language I could not understand, even though I knew quite a few languages. He seemed an important person, and seemed to be sometimes threatening and others. Giving me a promise of Peter, decided to be polite and spoke it first in English, but later switched over to a sign language. I was very hungry by then and put my fingers to my mouth to show that I wanted food. Oh girl. As I later discovered, he was understood me and shouted a comment immediately. Many people climbed up ladder onto my chair with baskets of food. There was a lot of food, but to me, seemed only a mouthful. There was bread as small as a bullet, and legs of mutton as small as a sparrow's wing. Little man was surprised to see me eat so much. They all cheered when I finished eating. I was very tempted to pick about 30 or 40 of them. Next to them, they ground, but I remembered my promise to the hugo and did not. Besides, I now felt that as I was in their country, I must obey them, follow their rules. After my meal, I was visited by someone from the royal palace. The person spoke to me with only anger, kept pointing towards one direction, which I later discovered was the emperor's palace. I made him understand that I would not hurt them and asked him to free me. But this he will not do and shook his head and said I will be a prisoner till the emperor saw me. Anyway, I was thankful that I was alive and these people had not put poison in my food, so I did not insist and found that I was very tired and soon I went to sleep. Later I heard that they had drugged me through the food to be able to transport me to the palace. These people were very good mathematicians, craftsmen, and had come up with a unique idea on how to take me to the palace. It seems the emperor has machines fixed to wheels to enable them to transport their large ships to the sea. One such machine was used to carry me to the palace. While I was a slave, they put me on the machine with the help of pulley, a very difficult job. These little people did it. This job took 4 hours on our way to the palace. We had to stop for the night. 500 guards watched over me, ready with bows and arrows in case I tried to escape. Next day, we arrived near the palace gates. Better and his courtiers came out to greet me at the palace where they stopped. They stood an ancient temple. And this was the place where they decided I would live. It was not in use and was idle for me. The gate of the temple was 4 feet high and 2 feet wide, and I could very easily crawl through this gate. There were 2 windows in the gate, and through one of the 91 chains had been passed, which was bound to my foot by 36 locks. When they found that I could not escape, they cut the rope that I was tied with, and I stood up. I cannot explain how astonished the huge crowd was that gathered to see me. When I stood up, the curious townspeople had come out onto the streets, and there were not less than 10,000 who climbed up my body with the help of ladders. They were later bent by the emperor, who chains that held me were 2 years long, and I could walk comfortably in semicircles. Soon I crept in the temple, lay down full length. End of recognition. Whatever.